This week on Capitalism, Race, and Democracy.
Kwanzaa is a week-long African-American festival, December the 26th to January the 1st, that concludes one year and begins another year.
2024 marks the 58th annual celebration of Kwanzaa throughout the U.S. and the world. The theme is celebrating Kwanzaa in difficult and demanding times.
This is a cultural holiday in which we come together to really reflect and project on our Africanness as a people.
What is the Ngulu Saba, or the Seven Principles of Kwanzaa? Bukin Nyerere of the National Association of Kawaito Organizations shares the living history of the early formation of Kwanzaa.
I want my grandmother to know that I did my best, and I don't care what those other people think. Okay. I care what my grandmother thinks. I know she's in heaven, and I want her to be proud of me.
And we'll hear from poet, activist, and professor Nikki Giovanni, who was one of the many revolutionary voices of the Black Arts Movement. Nikki Giovanni transitioned at 81 on December 9th, 2024, in Blacksburg, Virginia. From Pacifica Radio, this is Capitalism, Race, and Democracy, a collective effort by producers from Pacifica stations and affiliates across the U.S. I'm your host, Akua Holt. Kwanzaa was created and born in the womb, work, and transformative struggles of the Black Freedom Movement. Dr. Maulana Karinga, founder of Kwanzaa, says Kwanzaa was also shaped by a defining decade of fierce struggles for freedom and justice waged by Africans and other people of color around the world. 2024 marks the 58th annual celebration of Kwanzaa throughout the U.S. and the world. The theme is celebrating Kwanzaa in difficult and demanding times. Fahima Sack, co-producer and co-host of WPFW's What's at Stake, and straight out of Compton organizer and longtime community activist on the West Coast, Molly Bell, tells us more.
Molly Bell, thank you for joining us here at Pacifica Radio.
Reparations in memory of our ancestors, and Abari Ghani to you, Sister Fahima. Abari Ghani, for those who don't, and me, what's the grand news? What is the good news? And thank you, Radio Pacifica, for allowing me to talk about Kwanzaa. First of all, let's just begin from the beginning. Kwanzaa is a week-long African-American festival, December the 26th to January the 1st, that concludes one year and begins another year. The festival comes from the East African Swahili phrase, Marunde ya Kwanzaa, which means first fruits of the harvest, and was established in 1966 by Dr. Saba Maulana Karinga, and Saba means moral teacher, a leading theorist of African American history and culture. A cultural celebration, Kwanzaa has no ties to specific religious beliefs or practice. It can, however, be enhanced by individual faith practices and tradition central to the celebration of the Nguza Saba, or the Seven Principles of Kwanzaa. Let's begin with Nguza Saba are seven social and spiritual principles for everyday living developed by Dr. Maulana Karinga. These principles deal with the way we relate to one another and the development of positive self and cultural images. That is awesome. Let's begin with the first one. The first principle is umoja. And umoja, and I'm doing it in this order, umoja is to strive to for and maintain unity in the family. Umoja, that is the principle of unity. The second principle is kujichagulia, which means self-determination, to define ourselves.
And that actually is my birthday. I'm born on the second day of Kwanzaa, kujichagulia, and actually self-determination pretty much describes my personality.
That is great. A lot of people can't say that. So it is to determine ourselves, to name ourselves, and create for ourselves and speak for ourselves. And I have to agree with you, that is you. The third principle is Ujima, which means collective work and responsibility. It means to build and maintain our community together and to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and to solve them together. The fourth principle is Ujamaa. Ujamaa means cooperative economics. Boy, we need that. To build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. The fifth principle is Nia, which means purpose. And I like those letters, N-I-A. I always say it means necessary I am. And it means to make our collective vocations, the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. The sixth principle is Kaumba, which means creativity, to do always as much as we can in the way that we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than when we inherit it. And the seventh principle is Imani, which means faith. Faith to believe with all our hearts in our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and our people, and the righteousness and victory of the struggle. Now, when you're celebrating Kwanzaa, I want you to use some of these symbols. One is a mikaka, which is the mat. You put everything on a mat. The kanara is the candle holder, and you're going to put seven candles in them. In the middle of the candle is always the black candle, and that's for what? Unity. That stands for our people. And then on the right, looking at it, on the right side of it is the green candle. You'll have three. And on the left side of it, looking at it, you'll have red. And those are the seven principles. And each day you take the black candle and light the candle for the very next day. Always light them with the people. The people has to do everything. And then we also have food like the ear of corn, kiumba, you know, which is the unity cup. On the first day, we drink from a cup. That's a unity cup. And we all take a little sip from that same cup. And that's very important. And of course, there's the mazo, which is fruits and vegetables. And then there's zawaidi, which are gifts. The gifts that are given to us by our family and friends, they're not toys. They are things that will enhance us, like books to read. I guess now that we're in the 21st century, videos that are positive. Give them things that are positive. We're not looking for bikes and skates like that. Those are the ones that they want. Now, Kwanzaa, according to Dr. Kuringa, who is the creator of it, he says that our African culture is the tradition, is the heart and soul of a principle called Kawaida. Let me just share with you the principle of Kawaida. Kawaida is, this is our duty, to know our past and honor it, to engage our present and improve it, and to imagine, and some of you have great imaginations, and to imagine a whole new future and forge it. That word forge is not a word I use a lot, but to forge it in the most ethical, effective, and expansive ways. Forging our future in righteous, relentless struggle. And then we have to remember, some people says, well, we can't do all of that. That's kind of hard. Well, Nelson Mandela said, it always seems impossible until it is done. Those are the principles. And Dr. Kuringa asked us just to remember that culture is our totality of sensitivity and celebration. And that includes religion, history, social organizations, economic, politically, shared wealth, shared good of power, power to bring good into the moral world for which we stand. So this is just a short emphasis on Kwanzaa and what it's all about. And I asked you to celebrate it. And when you end Kwanzaa. We always say Harambe, which means pull together. Abari Ghani is what's the good news. And we always end everything, let's pull together. And I close by saying the way I close out here, all you prayer warriors out there, you know what you've got to do. You've got to keep fasting and praying because the struggle continues. But always to God be the glory. Thank you, Sister Fahima. Thank you, Pacifica Radio. And you keep on Pacifica Radio doing the great things that you are doing.
Well, Molly, I just want to give people the website for the US organization, www.us-organization.org. If you want to get more information about Kwanzaa and the organization that founded it and the 56th annual Kwanzaa celebration, please log on to that website. Thank you so much, Molly Bell. I'm Fahima Sek for Pacifica Radio. Thank you.
Asante sana.
That was Straight Outta Compton activist and organizer Molly Bell in conversation with producer, co-host Fahima Sek of WPFW's What's at Stake in the Nation's Capital.
It's Kwanzaa, what you gonna do? Spending with my family, chill with the crew. We gonna share gifts, you don't have to spend loot. We celebrate culture, our African roots. This Kwanzaa, what you gonna do? Spending with my family, chill with the crew. We gonna share gifts, you don't have to spend loot. We celebrate culture, our African
check
roots.
On December 26th, goodbye Saint Nick. I light a black candle, look, ooh, it's lit. First day of Kwanzaa, Umoja means unity. Ain't messing with my clique, melanated, check the drip.
Self-determination is the mantra. Constant elevation like the Haitians when they conquered their colonizers. Yeah. Like a real-life Wakanda, true believers. Day two, that's Kuji Chahulia.
Ujima, day three, responsibility. Let's put in that work together, bite a block, clean the streets. Collectively connected like the constellations. Plant a seed, watch it grow, reap what
spend
you sow.
Spend your black dollars on black business. Your black descendants, they hustle for your black children. A black trillion, that's how much black spending. Ujima, economics is how blacks will win, Lord willing.
On the fifth day of Kwanzaa with my family. Woo. Nia means purpose, build our legacy. Rest in peace, Rebecca Jones, matriarchy. Continue the work, Fannie Lou Hamer. Pass to me.
Hey, Kuwumba, yeah, you know what that means. Creativity, and you know what that brings. Full pockets, yeah, you know I like greens. I get paid every time I write things and my inner light beams.
Day seven, all the candles lit on a Kanara. Imani means faith in a better tomorrow. Joy over sorrow, equity over equal. The kids are our future leaders. We believe in all our people.
But black women shape the human race. Meet your maker, Queen Mother, we appreciate. You are sacred. You are Harriet, you are Ella Baker, you're a maker, you're a manifester, a creator.
This Kwanzaa, what you gon' do? Spending with my family, chill with the crew. We gon' share gifts, you don't have to spend loot. We celebrate culture, our African roots. This Kwanzaa, what you gon' do? Spending with my family, chill with the crew. We gon' share gifts, you don't have to spend loot. We celebrate culture, our African roots.
That was This Kwanzaa, featuring Pierce Freelon. It's a happy Kwanzaa song for kids and family. This is Pacifica's Capitalism, Race, and Democracy. I'm Akua Holt. We now travel to the East Coast to chat with Bukim Nyerere of NACO, National Association of Kawaida Organizations, about the Nguzo Saba, or the Seven Principles of Kwanzaa, and the history of Kawaida.
Kwanzaa celebrates African-American heritage, family, and culture around the world, December 26th through January the 1st. It was created by Dr. Mayalana Karinga, based on harvest festival traditions from the African diaspora. Kwanzaa began in 1966. Bukim Nyerere of the National Association of Kawaida Organizations, NACO, has been teaching the principles of Kwanzaa for several decades. Here, he reflects on the significance of Kwanzaa.
Your organization, NACO, has been providing Kwanzaa opportunities and programs in the New York area for several decades. Give us some history about NACO and your involvement with Kwanzaa.
Well, I'm an advocate of Kawaida. I was reading Dr. Mayalana Karinga. It was a magazine. It was called Black Scholar. And I read some of his articles, and what happened was I found out that he was saying what I was thinking, and the articulation of it was the way I wish I could talk at a African History Scholars meeting in Chicago. I got to see him and I was more enthralled. When I got back to New York, some of us who knew each other as activists had meetings over a period of 2 years. And then out of that came the National Association of Kawaii Organizations in different parts that would study Kawaii, the philosophy, which means Kawaii being a synthesis word, simply meaning the best of African tradition and reasoning. We formulated a group since 1988. We've been together. We've become clearer on different issues that we all supported and would give a national outreach to. In 1966, Dr. Karenga created Kwanzaa, and it has grown steadily. And it's grown nationally and internationally as a practice to observe, one, that which would bring us together and a spirit in which we could celebrate our Africanness. The fact that there was a need to address our culture, how that would relate to how we deal with the world and our historic issues with our oppression.
Talk to us about some of the activities you guys have been engaged in over the years.
What we've done is we brought in scholars, we brought in medical people to discuss issues such as the donation of your organs upon death, medical insurance, and things like that. We do programs that cover the political spectrum, whether that's international or national, to bring more clarity and support, a way of defining how we see things philosophically. And one of the reasons is people may challenge what you're thinking. You begin to strengthen yourself by knowing why you practice a certain way of life, because nobody challenges why people support Hanukkah or Cinco de Mayo. Nobody challenges those practices naturally from the oppressor or those that embrace that thinking. They want you to explain why you would be so focused on keeping your identity, seeking out the knowledge of yourself from a lost memory.
I remember in maybe the late 90s or around that time, maybe mid 90s, there was a lot of discussion and debate. Was Kwanzaa to replace Christmas?
Yeah.
Was Kwanzaa, what's your response? And help us understand the basis of Kwanzaa.
Well, one thing is that we live in a Christian culture. And regardless of whether you practice Islam, whether you are a Christian, whether you are Jewish or Baha'i or Mahatian in our sacred passage, this is a cultural holiday in which we come together to really reflect and project on our Africanness as a people. So it's cultural, it has nothing to do with religion. There are certain rituals that are founded even in the seven principles of the Nguza Saba, like as such as when one celebrates Umoja, unity, Kujichagulia, self-determination, or go to the last principle, which is faith. These are just an ingathering of thought and practice that comes out of guidelines of what do you accept, your behavior, not only from your own thinking, but how you interact with other people.
Here we are in the era of many pandemics, reckoning with racial justice, dealing with the impact of COVID-19, with African-American communities suffering at a higher alarming rate, more so than other communities. How can one still embrace these principles and strengthen our community despite all of what we see COVID-19 in America?
That last principle in Kwanzaa or the Nguza Saba, which is faith, you fight for that just like you fight for the ability to unify, to see the uniformity and that which we have lost. It starts by your faith that how you've lived this life has a lot of history to it, has the past and the loss of memory, that which is so important.
Again, when they argue why Kwanzaa over all the others, and I heard some scholars debate this issue and say every single holiday we celebrate, they're man-made holidays, every single one.
Yeah, they are. But one needs to understand, but you know, what we've done as a creative people is always take on just whatever practice is going down and made this just a day of where a family gathering, where you get to interact with your family, but not also recognize that most thoughts come out of one human to another. The divinity process we would have to have a better debate about that, a more open debate about that. But all holidays are created by man.
Brother Nukim Nyerere, thank you very much for being with us. And
okay.
State with us the name of your...
My name is Bokim Nyerere. I'm from the New York chapter of the National Association of Kiowa Ida Organizations. The website that would put people mostly into us is www.iaafestival.org. www.iaafestival.org. Email address would be NACO, NAKO, infogroup@yahoo.com.
That was Bukim Nyerere, founder of NACO, National Association of Kiowa Ida Organizations. Dr. Karinga says Kiowa Ida strives to bring forth the best of African thought and practice. Find out more about a Kwanzaa celebration near you online.
Umoja means unity. We should strive to keep it in our families and the nation. So light the candle for Kwanzaa. And me,
Kujichagulia,
means define ourselves and who we want to be. 'Cause I gotta be me. Light the candle for Kwanzaa.
The 7 days of Kwanzaa and the Nguzo Saba, the seven principles of Kwanzaa.
Collective work and responsibility, solving all our problems just as one community. Yeah, yeah. So light the candle for Kwanzaa. Jobs galore and sharing all the property. Oh, yeah. So light the candle for Kwanzaa and me.
The 7 days of Kwanzaa and the Nguzo Saba. Seven principles of Kwanzaa.
Here is his purpose, the womb of creativity. Imani is the faith, and within you can do anything. Brothers and sisters, it's all for you. Seven principles of who you
are. The seven principles
of Kwanzaa. Of Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa. And it's all for you. Said it's all for you.
That was William Scott, the Kwanzaa song. This is Capitalism, Race, and Democracy. I'm Akua Holt. Kwanzaa is an international Pan-African celebration of family, community, and culture. Dr. Mialana Karinga, founder of Kwanzaa, says it brings a message which speaks to the best of what it means to be African and human.
Kwa niaba ya jumuiya yetu, yani us, na watetezi wake, tunasema habari gani, karibuni ndugu na dada, rafiki na wageni. Miongoni mwetu, siku zote mtakuta jamaa yenu na mahali pa amani. Na tunawatakia baraka bila idadi na vitu vyote vizuri bila mwisho. That is to say, on behalf of our organization, huh? And as advocates, we say greetings and welcome, brothers and sisters, friends and guests. Among us, you will always find your family in a peaceful place, and we wish for you blessings without number and all good things without end. Moreover, we bear witness as an African people that as our beginning was great and good, so shall our development to our eternity be if we dare struggle, speak truth, do justice, and walk in the way of righteousness. Hotep, Ashe, Hedi. And how do we as a people honor our role as a moral and social vanguard, not only in this country, but indeed in the world? In a word, what are our obligations to ourselves and others, to the poor and the less powerful, to the vulnerable, to the oppressed, to the suffering and struggling peoples of the world, and to the well-being of the world itself? Constantly following in the culture footsteps of our ancestors and elders, we come together also to celebrate the good in the world, I repeat, the good in the world, the good of family, of community and culture, the good of loving kindness and care, the good of respect for ourselves and others, the good of life and love, of sharing and togetherness, the good of working to build and sustain the good world we all want and deserve to live in and leave as a legacy to those who come after us. Kwanzaa is above all a celebration of African people, right? It's very important for us to understand that Kwanzaa is above all a celebration of African people, a celebration of their life, their culture, their historic initiatives, and the awesome march and movement we make to history. Indeed, on one level, it's also a celebration of our people in struggle, who have created a culture and history of struggle to free themselves and to be themselves and to bring an increased good in the world. Kwanzaa is an act of freedom, a liberating return to our own history, not requesting approval for our return or recognition of our holiday. It is an act of freedom against the culture imperialism of the dominant society, which sought to strip us of our African culture and make them darker images, make us darker images of themselves. It is an instrument of freedom, a means of building a culture of resistance. Kwanzaa was conceived as an instrument of struggle to raise and cultivate the consciousness of the people, to unite them around principles that anchored and elevated their lives and involved them in the struggle to be themselves and free themselves and build a just and good world we all want, work for, and deserve. It's an act of freedom, it's an instrument of freedom, and it's a celebration of freedom, a freeing of ourselves and being ourselves in radical rupture. It is a celebration of our culture, our history, and our humanity, and our awesome march and movement through time and space in the world. And we know that if we are to honor and achieve the task assigned us by both history and heaven, we must embrace principles and engage in practices which enable us to complete them. And at the heart of those principles are the Nguzo Saba, the seven principles of Kwanzaa and of Kawida philosophy, from which both the Nguzo Saba and Kwanzaa are created. I created and offered the Nguzo Saba as principles and practices central to the liberation and bringing good in the world in 1965. These are essential ethical values, my people, and principles of life and living. And those principles are Umoja, unity, Kujichagulia, self-determination, Ujima, collective working responsibility, Ujamaa, cooperative economics, Nia, purpose, Kuumba, creativity, and Imani, faith. Kwanzaa, through its rootedness in Kawida philosophy and then Nguzo Saba, like all significant messages and events, has both a particular and universal message and meaning. Like the great faith traditions of the world, it speaks first to the particular people who crafted it out of their own lives, out of their own lived experience and deep thought, and in its ability to speak to the best of what it means to be African and human in the fullest sense. Kwanzaa also cares a message for the world. And this message is clear and compelling in the Nguzo Saba. And certainly one of the most significant ways to raise up and reaffirm the Nguzo Saba is through the Kwanzaa Katna lighting ceremony. This ceremony called Lifting of the Light at Last reflects the Sebaic teaching found in the Hosea of ancient Egypt, the sacred text of ancient Egypt, that says we as a people are, quote, given that which endures in the midst of that which is overthrown, unquote, and that this enduring legacy is our spiritual and ethical values. And so at Kwanzaa, we lift up these lasting values which light the path to bringing good in the world.
That was Dr. Maulana Karinga, founder of Kwanzaa. The theme for this year's celebration is celebrating Kwanzaa in difficult and demanding times, lifting up the light that lasts. Visit officialkwanzawebsite.org to learn more. This is Pacifica's Capitalism, Race, and Democracy. I'm Akua Holt. We now go to WPFW's veteran journalist, Verna Avery Brown, and the people's poet, activist, writer, and professor, Nikki Giovanni, who transitioned on December 9, 2024 in Blacksburg, Virginia. Nikki was born on June 7, 1943 in Knoxville, Tennessee. She was a leading voice in the Black arts movement. She has written many books of poetry, as well as short stories, critical essays, and children's books.
I'm Verna Avery Brown, broadcasting from WPFW Radio in the nation's capital. Throughout history, society has looked to poets to provide somewhat of an unorthodox, if you will, perspective on the events and occurrences in our lives. Poets often see things through a different lens and are brave enough to express things exactly as they see them. Ever since President John F. Kennedy invited Robert Frost to speak at his inauguration in 1961, poets have been included in the sacred swearing into office ceremony. Poets have, in a sense, set the spiritual tone for the incoming administrations over the years. Interestingly enough, though, Democrats are alone in that practice. No modern Republican commander-in-chief has ever invited a poet to speak at their swearing-in ceremony. Does that fact in and of itself speak volumes? And if so, what should we glean from it? What role does poetry play in politics? Well, to address that, we turn to Nikki Giovanni, a living icon in the cultural world of poetry. She's spoken to us through her activism and poetic works and writings since the 60s. She's a commentator, an activist, and educator. Nikki Giovanni is known as the poet of the Black Revolution, mainly for her Black Power-inspired writings of the 60s and 70s. Her work is also contemporary, as she's created the Black Panther story for the Tales of Wakanda. She's the recipient of the American Book Award, the Langston Hughes Medal, 7 NAACP Image Awards, and she's one of Oprah's 25 Living Legends. She has been nominated for a Grammy Award for her poetry album, the Nikki Giovanni Poetry Collection. And those are just a few of her accomplishments and honors. It would literally take me the entire hour if I named them all. She's currently University Distinguished Professor at Virginia Tech. It's indeed my honor to welcome poet, activist, commentator, writer, and professor Nikki Giovanni. Welcome, Professor Giovanni. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted.
History has been made in the election of Kamala Harris as the first Black woman elected vice president of the U.S. It kind of strikes me as poetic justice that a Black woman would be named vice president, given the history of the white woman suffrage movement that really sought to exclude the participation of Black women in exchange for support from Southern white women. Now, you're a Delta Sigma Theta, I know. I'm sure you're aware of the history that Deltas were invited to march in the suffrage parade in 1913 and were then uninvited out of fear of losing the support of the white Southern woman. Had you thought about Kamala Harris's election in that context in history?
I've been invited to the White House before. I sincerely hope that I get invited again just for this reason. Kamala is an AKA, and I want to go to the White House with my red and my white. She definitely owes the Delta. And I want to say that she owes the Delta. And I think we have to look at it exactly that way. She's a bright, I mean, I have no issue with Ms. Harris at all. But mm-hmm. I think that at some point she needs to invite the Deltas in to thank us, adding that no matter what, we were going to march and we were going to do our best to see to it that Black women and that Black people voted.
Well, she owes a lot more than the Deltas. Black women have paid the price for Kamala Harris to hold that office of vice president. They fought and suffered for voting rights throughout history. And while there were many unsung heroes, the name of Fannie Lou Hamer stands out. In this clip, Ms. Hamer spoke publicly of the suffering she personally endured in the fight for Blacks to vote. Let's give it a listen.
I had been to a voter registration workshop, you know, they were just training and teaching us how to register to pass the literacy test. And it was giving us enough training that we could tell other people, you know, how to pass the literacy test. So we had attended a workshop from the 3rd of June through the 8th. We finished the workshop on the 8th, and then we got the Continental Trailway bus to come back to Mississippi. And we got to Wanona, Mississippi, I would say about 10:30 that Sunday morning on our way back to Greenwood. And that was, we had got in 25 miles of the voter registration headquarters. And the bus stopped in Wanona, you know, at the bus terminal. And four people got off of the bus, you know, to use the restaurant to get food. And two people got off, used the washroom while I was still on the bus. When I looked through the glass, I saw the people rush out. And one of the girls what had gone in the washroom, she just got back on the bus. And I stepped off to see what had happened. And Ms. Ponder told me that it was a state highway patrolman and a chief of police on the inside, and began to tap them on the shoulders with billy clubs and ordered them to get out. And I said, well, this is Mississippi. So I got back on the bus, and as soon as I was seated, I saw them when they began to put the five people what was, you know, off the bus, but they wasn't over 6 feet from the bus, began to put them in the highway patrolman's car. And I stepped off again because I was holding one of the ladies' irons, you know, that they was arresting. And she said, get back on the bus, Miss Hamer. And then I heard somebody scream from the car that she was in, and said, get that one there. And then a white man stepped out of a car and told me I was under arrest. And when he opened the door and I went to get in the car, he kicked me. And they carried me on down to the county jail where they had the other highway patrolman had carried the other five. And they, you know, when I walked in with the two white men that had carried me down, and they cursed me all the way down. They would ask me questions, and when I would try to answer, they would tell me to hush. And when I walked inside of the booking room, one of the policemen went over and jumped up on one of the Negro's feet that was with us. And then they just began to, you know, put us in cells. And I was put in a cell with Miss Yvester Simpson. And after I was put in this cell, I could just hear some horrible screams and horrible sounds, you know, of licks. And I saw one of the girls was 15 years old, was with us. When she passed my cell and she was real bloody, and then they asked the little man that cleaned up the jail to go inside and mop up that blood. And then I heard some more screaming, and I heard some awful sounds. And I would hear somebody when they say, "Can't you say yes, sir, nigger? Can't you say yes, sir?" And they would call her names that I wouldn't want to go on tape. And she said, "Yes, I can say yes, sir." So I said, and she said, "I don't know you well enough." And I would hear when she would hit the floor again. And finally she began to pray, and she asked God to have mercy on these people because they didn't know what they was doing. And after a while they passed my cell door with this young woman, Miss Annelle Ponder, and one of her eyes looked like blood, and her hair was standing up on her head, and her clothes had been torn from the shoulder down to the waist. And then three white men came to my cell, and one of them was a state highway patrolman because he was wearing a little silver plate across his pocket that said John L. Bassinger. And he asked me where I was from, and I told him I was from Louisville. And he said, "I'm gonna check that." And he went out, and I guess he called Louisville. And they didn't like me in Louisville because I worked with voter registration there. And when he came back, he said, "You damn right." They said, "You're from Louisville, all right. And we gonna make you wish you was dead." And they led me out of that cell into another cell. And he gave a Negro prisoner a blackjack. And he ordered me to lay down on a bunk bed. And a Negro prisoner said, "Do you want me to beat her with this, sir?" And he said, "You damn right, because if you don't, you know what I'll do for you." And I laid down on the bunk like he ordered me to do. And the first Negro beat me. He beat me until he was exhausted. And after he beat, the state highway patrolman ordered the second Negro to take the blackjack. And during the time he was beating, I began to work my feet because that was a horrible experience. And the state highway patrolman ordered the first Negro that had beat to sit on my feet while the second one beat. And I just began to scream where I couldn't control it. And then the white man got up and began to beat me in my head. I have a blood clot now in the artery to the left thigh and a permanent kidney injury on the right side from that beating. These are the things that we go through in the state of Mississippi, just trying to be treated like a human being. But still, this is called a part of America.
So that's Fannie Lou Hamer. That's a familiar story. It always brings tears to my eyes, but it bears being heard over and over again. Nikki Giovanni, you've heard that before. Your thoughts, your reaction?
Until there's nothing living in me, I will vote because of that beating that Ms. Hamer took to try to make people like me, to try to make Black people vote. It's just an incredibly, it's too sad. I mean, the whole story, you know, Lyndon Johnson, they had gone because she had formed the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. And what she wanted was them to be seated. And Lyndon Johnson tried to negotiate, tried to say, "Well, you know, we can give you two seats." And she said, and I remember that, "We didn't come here for no two seats." And going back to Mississippi, this was going to happen, and it did. It's just an incredibly, sad is not even a word.
Your body of works includes 8 nonfiction works, 10 spoken word albums, and 12 children's books. What must we teach our children, all of them, the Black, the white, the Latino, the Native Americans, and the Asians? Or is it a different message for each one of them?
We have to teach our children, and we have to remind ourselves that we all live on the same planet. With any luck, we drink clean water and we breathe clean air. I think that we really are all the same. You just kind of get tired of that. Mm-hmm. That whole concept of race is a construct.
Yes.
And it's time that we admitted that and moved on.
Really. Can I ask you one final question? How do you want America to remember you, as poet, activist, commentator, writer, historian, Nikki Giovanni?
I want my grandmother to know that I did my best. And I don't care what those other people think. Okay. I care what my grandmother thinks. I know she's in heaven, and I want her to be proud of me.
Nikki Giovanni, activist, poet, commentator, writer, historian. Thank you so much for being our guest. Thank you so much.
When Gamble and Huff ruled, that's when to be hot was cool, to care was correct, to be involved was without examination or explanation because it was just the right thing to do, to creatively express yourself while knowing who you and your people are. That's when everybody was young, including the world we lived in and the people who oppressed us. And everybody kept hoping that if we all lived long enough to grow up, maybe, just maybe, we would survive racism. And maybe they would give it up. And an older world would be safer and more hopeful and somehow younger than the young world we were living in. That's when we wore our bell bottoms and earth shoes and afros that reached the sky, and the guys practically poured themselves into their jeans so they moved slower, while we had more physical mobility so we moved quicker. And the media had begun warning black men about the dangers of loving black women, but they weren't listening to the media then. They were listening to their own hearts. And the music that kept pouring out of the radio, and people kept sort of falling in love and sort of wanting to do something important, and after all, didn't all the hippies meet on South Street? And wasn't there some sort of love train pulling out? And my, oh my, look out for those backstabbers. So we wouldn't let anybody divide us, even though sometimes your best friend was after your lady. That's when the music was for us, about us, and by us. And Gamble and Huff didn't take a gamble or huff, but righteously brought the music out of us to place it back in us. And hey, they want to talk about intruders, and I always love those brothers, because that's what we all are if other people have their way. I mean, intruders. That's when, in some wild and wonderful way, we were courageous enough to still fall in love and crazy enough not to hold back and sensible enough not to cry when it was over, nor whine, nor beg and plead and threaten, but just find another love for another day. And even if people thought we were trite and silly, we knew we were just expressing a brand new us. And, oh, you better believe the people were ready for that train a-coming. That's when we were strong and determined to change the world, and if not change it, leave it different from when we met it. And I like black people for that. I like us for our faith and our energy and loving our mamas and ourselves and the world and all the chances we took in trying to make everything better, which we did for some and definitely not for others. And I dislike other people for taking our music, our muse, our rap to sell their cars and bread and toothpaste and deodorant and sneakers, but never seeming to have enough to give back to the people who created it. And that's not a huff or a gamble, but the awful truth of white America. That's when the possibility was possible. And we got in our orange Beetles and drove across country and back and rocked and rolled into a newer possibility while lassoing and harnessing and ultimately riding the night winds that bucked and resisted, but we held on. And we were right. And the possibilities closed down, but the beat goes on and the beat goes on and the beat goes on. That's when.
That was poet, activist, and professor Nikki Giovanni, one of the many revolutionary voices of the Black Arts Movement, and WPFW's veteran journalist and host of What's at Stake, Verna Avery Brown. Nikki Giovanni was selected as one of Oprah's 25 Living Legends in 2005 and was a member of the Wintergreen Writers Collective. Nikki Giovanni transitioned on December 9th, 2024. She was 81 years old. Babatunde Olatunji and Drums of Passion, incantations.
It is with a heavy heart that we pay homage to Bilal Suni Ali. He was born on July 13, 1948. He attended Bronx Community College and went to Evander Childs High School in Bronx, New York. He was married to his lifetime partner, Iya Fulani, since December 1976. He survived by several family members and children, nieces, in-laws, grandchildren. He was a contributor to this program, Capitalism, Race, and Democracy, and he led the fight to free Imam Jalil al-Amin. He's also known for being a musical voice in the band of Gil Squeeze-Heron. We salute Bilal Suni Ali, and we send our condolences to his family and friends. Ashe.
Here's a cut by Bilal Suni Ali, Look For Me in the Whirlwind. Today's edition of Capitalism, Race, and Democracy. We thank all of Pacifica's sister stations and affiliates who contribute to the production of this show. Today's program was produced by Akua Holt with contributions by Fahima Sack, Steve Seltzer, Verna Avery Brown, and edited by me, Akua Holt, and Paulina Vasilia. You can find this and all previous episodes at our website, capitalismraceanddemocracy.org. Make sure you click the subscribe button. Follow us on X, formerly Twitter, at Pacifica CRD. I've been your host, Akua Holt. Thanks for listening. Before we go, I leave you with this quote. We write because we believe the human spirit cannot be tamed and should not be trained. Nikki Giovanni.